Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen and amen. Can you guys give the Lord a big amen tonight? So you have a seat. Tonight, get your Bibles out and go to the Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. I want to talk to you about the moving Christian. Now, I don't mean that like you're going from Redlands to Beaumont, okay? That's not what we're talking about. Each and every one of us as Christians, we're going on a journey. We're going somewhere in our lives. And I believe that God wants each and every one of us to be moving in a certain direction. And that direction is towards Him, towards His purpose, towards His call. In fact, all throughout the Bible, you will find biblical phraseology and words that indicate movement as Christians. Life is seen as running a race. Life is seen as a course. Life is seen as movement, pressing on towards the goal, towards the upward call. A lot of movement in our lives. There are currents in culture and in society that can carry us different directions, and God wants us to move in a certain direction. Tonight, I want to talk to you about this subject. In Acts chapter number 20, verse number 18, we're going to read all the way through verse number 24. Now, let me give you the backstory. The Apostle Paul has been planting churches. He's gone through Ephesus. Ephesus is a place where there was a great reception of the word of the Lord, but also there was great opposition to the word of the Lord. In fact, there was a riot in Ephesus. They were beating people up. They were tearing things apart. Things were happening all because this one man, the Apostle Paul, and a band of believers went in to preach and teach the word of the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul knows that God is moving him in a direction, and it's at this time that he's headed towards Jerusalem. And as he's headed there, he takes a moment and he stops and he has a meeting with the Ephesian elders there on the beach, and he's kind of giving them his final farewell. And I could imagine it was a very tearful meeting. But here in Acts chapter 20, verse number 18, it starts out and it says this, "And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know that from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you.'" Verse number 19, "Serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews." Verse number 20, "How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house." Verse 21, "Testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 22, "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there." Verse number 23, "Except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." Verse number 24 is where I wanted to get to tonight. Look at this with me. It says these words. It says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Now, I want you to notice something. The Apostle Paul is headed in a direction. He is going to Jerusalem, where he knows that trials, pain, problems, tribulation await him. How does he know that? Because he says that the Holy Spirit is testifying in every city that things are going to happen when he gets there. And so, I don't know about you, but if I heard a warning from the Holy Spirit that if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to get beat up, I would be avoiding Jerusalem like the plague. Wouldn't you be? It'd be like if I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Don't go home tonight. There's going to be robbers waiting for you in your house, and they're going to beat the snot out of you. They're going to steal all of your stuff and leave you there for dead on the ground." I would say, "I'm getting a hotel room and I'm calling the cops." Right? And yet, look at what he says. He says, "Yet none of these things move me." In fact, if you read on in the book of Acts, you'll find that he keeps going and he keeps getting more and more prophetic words saying, "Don't go." The believers are saying, "Please don't go." Agabus, the prophet, comes and ties himself up and prophesies, "The owner of this belt who I took and tied myself up," he binds himself with Paul's belt, hand and feet, and he's laying on the ground, kind of hogtied there, and he says, "The owner of this belt will also be bound in Jerusalem." And the disciples are pleading with Paul, "Please don't go. Look at Agabus. He's all hogtied right there. That should be enough reason, Paul, for you not to go." And yet Paul would not be persuaded. And the apostles had to stop and say, "Well, the will of the Lord be done." And for all of us, I think, in our lives, God is moving us in a direction. And God wants to take us to the place, to the calling of what he has for us. Now, I'm not saying that trials and tribulations are what's right ahead of you. We all know that we're going to go through problems in life. There's going to be things that take place in our lives. But there will also be joys, and there will also be great things that take place, miraculous things that can happen. If you read the rest of the Apostle Paul's story, there's some really neat things that take place. As well, there's some really hard things, some trials that take place. And yet, if you read through the book of Philippians, he rejoices because it's all worked out for the glory of God. And that's why I think it's so important for us when we see this, that we look at the things. There are factors that as we're headed towards the direction that God wants for us, that can take us away from that movement that God has in our lives. He sees these things. He's not moved by any of these things. Even though he knows problems and trials are awaiting him, he says, none of these things move me. But what does move him? See, for the Christians, there's something that should be moving us here and now. Today, this is not just a history lesson contained in the scriptures for thousands of years, even though we can learn history from it, even though we can see great things that took place, even though we can say that's wonderful for the Apostle Paul. But you know that the Holy Spirit says that these are examples for you and for me, so that as we live our life, that we can see the direction that God wants us to move our lives in. And so for tonight, I have a couple of things, what moves a Christian. These are things that should move us. Okay. Now you may look at these things tonight as we're going throughout the word of the Lord and find out that I'm not moved in the right direction. I'm not moved by the right things. I'm being moved by the wrong things. And that's where tonight, take some good notes. Tonight, key in. If you will get a hold of these principles that you're about ready to receive tonight, they're going to move you in the direction that God has for your life. Now, maybe some problems, maybe some trials on the horizon, maybe some difficult things for you to go through. But guess what else? There's going to be some miraculous things. There's going to be some wonderful blessings ahead of you if you go in the direction that God has for you tonight. What moves a Christian? First one is this, is a humble mindset. The number one thing that we see tonight from the word of the Lord that we just read is that the Apostle Paul allowed a humble mindset to move him in the direction that God had from Acts chapter 20, verse number 19. Let's read it again. Look at what he says. He says, serving the Lord with all humility. That word humility is actually not just being humble. Now, we understand at this church, we've taught about humility being dependent on God. But that's not the word that he uses here. He says, serving the Lord with all humility. And the original language really speaks of a humble, dependent on God mindset. This was a mindset that the Apostle Paul had. And for Christians, we should have that same mindset, a humble mindset. What do I mean by that? Okay, let's contrast two things for a second, okay? I want to contrast people who want to lose weight. That's their goal, right? People who want to lose weight, and I want to contrast that with people who want to have a healthy life. Two different mindsets. Think about it for a second. Somebody who wants to lose weight, maybe they've got a goal weight. Maybe they say, I just need to drop 10 pounds quick. I need to get into my suit because I'm going to that event, or I need to get in my dress, right? And so I need to drop a quick 10 pounds. There is a certain mindset that individuals who just want to drop weight have, right? They don't care if they're eating junk. They don't care if they don't eat anything. They don't care if they hurt their bodies, right? If they're going to lose the weight, they'll do it. That's the mindset that they have. I'm going to eat all meat for a month. My goodness, that can kill you. What are you doing? Even though I love meat, man, why don't you eat a vegetable? Like get something good in your, oh, I can't eat any of that stuff. That's not good for me, right? Not good for my weight loss. You see, it's all about losing weight. But then there's the individual who says, you know what? It's not so much about losing weight as it is me just being healthy. And so they will incorporate other things into their lifestyle. They will cut things out of their lifestyle that maybe the person that was just trying to drop weight, that they will incorporate things into their lifestyle. They'll eat a lot of vegetables. They'll eat a lot of things that are heart healthy, and they'll start studying out what's good for the brain, what's good for the liver, what's good for the organs, you know. And maybe they'll do a cleanse. Oh, my goodness, right? And they're sweating at work and all that kind of stuff and shivering and doing stuff that the person who was just going to drop the weight would never do. I would never do that. Why are you drinking that thing? That's terrible. Man, you're going to the bathroom like 8 times today. Why don't you stop that, right? And they're like, I'm trying to be healthy. I'm trying to cleanse the system, right? And there's a different discipline here than there is over here. Everybody tracking? Okay. See, for the Christian, the humble mindset is different than the worldly mindset. See, the world's mindset is, I'm going to be moved by whatever does me good. The worldly mindset says, you know what, I gotta do good things in order to be a better person for society, that sort of a thing. See, the Christian has a different mindset. They say, I gotta depend on God, and whatever God calls me to do, then whatever that is, it will be good in my life. Totally different mindset. And it'll move you in a totally different direction, because if it's a selfish mindset of the world that says, I'm gonna do whatever benefits me, when pain, when problems, when trials come, what's going to happen? They're going to flee in the opposite direction of that. But for the Christian, if God has called you to go through a trial because there's something good on the other side of that trial, if God's going to take you before a Festus, if God's going to take you before a Felix, if God's going to take you before Caesar, come on, somebody. If you read the story of the Apostle Paul, if God's going to shipwreck you on an island and you're going to get snake bit and shake it off in the fire so that it'll be a witness to a community that will receive Jesus, then guess what? The humble mindset says, no, I go bound in the spirit to the suffering. I don't care what comes my way. I know that I can take it. I know that God's going to bring me through it. Why? Because that's what God is asking of me, and I've got to depend on Him for everything that I do in my life. Totally different mindset. Totally different mindset. And that's the mindset that a Christian should have. There's a story of a young woman who started working at a textile mill. Up on the wall of the textile mill, it said these words: when your thread becomes tangled, call the foreman. Now, she was a very good seamstress. She knew what she was doing. She knew her way around a sewing machine. And so she went in there and she saw that sign and she kind of chuckled, you know, I'm not going to ever have to call on the foreman. And so she starts doing things and she's going and you know, it's different than what she does at home. And so she's going there and all of a sudden her thread gets tangled. And she says, well, no, I can do this. I don't need the foreman. I don't need to call him. Not a big deal. And so she tries to fix it. And after a while, she gets an even more of a tangle than she was at first. And so finally, she realizes that she's not going to be able to make this on her own. And so she tries, and situation gets worse. Finally, she calls the foreman. She says, I did the best I could. And listen to what the foreman says to her. He says, no, you didn't. To do the best, you should have called me. Now let that sink in for a second. You didn't do your best. To do your best, you should have called me. That would have been the best thing for her to do in order to get the tangle out of her work. See, in the Christian, sometimes we get ourselves in a tangle, don't we? Get out there in life and think, I can do it on my own, right? I got this, God. I'm going to handle this. You know what? This situation, God, don't even worry about showing up. I'm going to handle the business right now. I'll take care of it, right? I'll take care of it. We get in there and we make a mess, an even bigger mess than we were in before. And then we go to God afterwards when they're not talking to us anymore, or we've made a mess of things, and we go to God and we say, God, I did my best. And God is saying, no, you didn't do your best. Your best is when you rely on me, when you call on me. I will take care of the tangle. I'll take care of the mess. You just come to me and let me work things out on your behalf. I'll show you how to get out of that mess. See, the mindset of a Christian should be, I depend on God for everything. That's why when I get up here, I have to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak. Because can I be honest with you guys? Can I be totally transparent? I have nothing to say. I mean, if you come to my house and sit down with me, you might be like, there ain't nothing going on up there inside of Pastor Dan's head. Why? Because I don't have anything to say. God has everything to say, and He's the one that does the work. See, the Rock Church and World Outreach Center is not what it is because there was some great pulpit platform stars, or because there was great musicians, or that sort of a thing, or because, you know, we paid the best employees or volunteers, that sort of thing. Even though we endeavor in the natural to do our best for God. The reason why the Rock Church and World Outreach Center is what it is because this is a place that love built. This is a place that grace built. This is a place that God's ability got in there with people who couldn't do it on their own and took care of the mess that was in our community, that was in the Inland Empire, and started to untangle that mess and started to get us out of a bind. Some of you guys were bound in life. Some of you guys had made a mess out of yourself, but you came into the house of God and you said yes to Jesus and you gave Him your life, and He got you off drugs. He got you out of perversions. He got you delivered. He restored your family. He restored your marriage. He restored your home. He restored your dreams and your vision. And that's what happens when we say yes to Jesus and rely on Him, is that God comes and He takes care of our life. He will move you in the direction that you need to go. Second thing is this, that I see the Apostle Paul had, was a vision of the goal. He had a vision of the goal. See, for Christians, the mindset, the movement of a Christian, if we're going to move a Christian, not only a mindset, but also it's a vision. See, we have that humble mindset that says, I depend on God for everything. And so therefore, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go into the worldly way of things. I'm going to go into God's way of things. But he had a vision of the goal. Acts chapter 20, verse number 24 this time. Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 24, take a look at it with me. It says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. See, the Apostle Paul had his eye on the finish line. He had a vision of what was ahead of him. There was a goal that he knew he needed to accomplish. He knew that life was a race, and that in that race there was a finish line, and so he kept his eye on that finish line. I heard a story of an Olympic runner who was running a marathon, and as he was running that marathon, he came around and came into the stadium where there were tens of thousands of people cheering him on, and I mean, he was winning by just a large distance. But as he was running towards the finish line, he took his eyes off of the finish line and he looked back to see where his closest competitor was. And at that moment, the person announcing the race said, he just lost. He just lost. And wouldn't you know it, his next competitor came and overtook him and won that marathon that day. See, for all of us, we need to keep our eyes on the prize. Don't get distracted with the periphery. Don't get looking at other things. Don't get looking at other people's races. Sometimes we can get so discouraged as Christians, can't we? Because we see something that we like and we say, I would love to do that. And we see their race and we see what they're doing and we start to say, my goodness, I would love to go in that direction. And God is saying, no, come over here, depend on me. I've called you to this race. I've called you. Here's the goal for your life. And for some of you, God's got you in short sprints right now. Here's the first things first is just get your life right with Christ. Here's first things first. Start attending church on a regular basis and learn something out of that word. Get into the Bible. For some of you, you got a short race of let's start walking in forgiveness. And as you start to run that race, you'll realize that for some of those things, it's a lifelong race, isn't it? Sometimes you'll deal with forgiveness issues that you will get delivered from, but the devil come try and bring it back up again. He'll say, hey, I'm right behind you. Look back here. And that's where you cannot get distracted with the past. You cannot be looking back at what was, but now you start to focus on the future and start to look towards the goal that God has called you to. If you can't see the goal, you'll get discouraged. You know the people climbing mountains? That as they're climbing the mountains, if they can't see the summit, if it gets covered by clouds or if there's an obstacle blocking them, they will actually go slower. Why? Because it's discouraging. They can't see the goal. But the moment they see the summit, when the clouds clear, when they come over out of the valley and they start to be able to see the path to the summit, all of a sudden their pace picks up. Why? Because they have vision. It's no different for you and it's no different for me. If we can keep a vision of where God has called us to, you know what? Take some time this week. Sit down, find your most comfortable chair. I have a leather chair that I love, and I love to sit in my chair. And so how many men have got a leather chair? Maybe you got a lazy boy, right? Because you are a lazy boy, right? Some of you guys got your favorite chair. But find your spot. My wife loves, she's got a set of chairs in front of a big window where she can see the front lawn and she can see out to the sky. And she loves that spot right there. There, find whatever spot that you can to get quiet, get alone, and start to dream with God. Bring a pen and a paper and start to write down goals. Start to write down dreams. Start to write down the vision. What do you see your life like in the future? You say, Pastor, I don't have that. Well, depend on God for it. Ask God. Ask the Holy Spirit. Pray. Say, Lord, what do you want for my life? What's the future look like? And start to just write some things that you would like. Start dreaming. And as you start dreaming, the Holy Spirit will whisper, why are you settling for that little one? Get the big one. Anybody ever had the Holy Spirit expand your capacity like that, right? You're believing God for a house. God, I want a house, man. I want 3-bedroom, 2-bath, God. And God says, no, you don't. You got 16 tyrants at home. You need to get a bigger house. But God, I can't believe you for, no, believe me for the big one. Ask. He's your father. He wants to bless you. He wants to take care of your life. And if you depend on him, he's the God of exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ask or even think. See, when your vision gets off, you'll get going in the wrong direction. I like to play golf. It's a fun game to me. I know it's a frustrating game for others. I won't mention Pastor Luke's name, okay? There are other people who do not like the game. I like the game. It brings me peace. I like being outside. I like the long fairways and the green grass and the trees. And, you know, I don't want the flat course. You know, don't give me that. You know, you go out to the desert and some different places, they got these flat courses just like this, like that, you know, and just going back and forth. That's boring to me. I want hills. I want sand traps. I like all that stuff. I don't know why. It just brings me peace. And so we were playing on this course one time, and as we're playing, I looked up and I said, can you see the flag to the guy I was playing with? Can you see the flag? He said, I think that's it right there. I said, no, I don't think that's it. I think that's it over there. So we're looking to see the flag, you know, and so I said, I think I got that. Look, it's waving in the wind. I'm pretty sure that's it. So I start hitting towards the flag. And we come up and I hit and so I come down in this valley, and so I think the flag's right there. Okay, I see that same thing waving, and I'm hitting towards that, and I keep going, and so I'm hitting over, and as we get close, we finally get up this hill, and I'm looking where I thought the flag was, and it is a tree blowing in the wind. And the flag is all the way over there. I'm going, what the heck just happened? Why am I all the way over here? See, I had the wrong goal. I had the wrong vision. And if we can get a vision of what God has called us to, not someone else's race, don't be looking at someone else's race. Don't be looking over there. Look straight ahead. Look at the race that God has called you to. What is it that God has put you in? Maybe God has put you in business. You know what? Don't be ashamed of being in business. That is a wonderful ministry for you to have. You're going to touch people that I can't touch. You're going to be able to be a witness to people that will never come into a church service and hear this big mouth preacher speak and spit on, right? You're going to be able to reach people in your family and in your community that will never darken the door of a church until they see Jesus, like we heard this morning, getting outside the gate and going and running their race and getting in where the people are. That's what this is all about, is us finding out, God, what have you called me to? Don't be ashamed. Single moms, stay-at-home moms, grandparents raising grandchildren, don't be ashamed. God has called you to do a great and mighty, wonderful work on the earth. There is no shame in raising children. My wife, she loves this place. Her heart and her passion is here, but there came a time where God told her, I want you to go home and raise your children. And so while my youngest son was home before he went to school, she went home, and it killed her. It took every bit of pride out of her. It humbled her, and she had to depend on God for every day. But she found so much joy. She found so much pleasure. She found so much goodness in those moments with our children, raising them and picking the ones that were going to school up and spending time with our little guy. And she wouldn't trade those years for anything. And now that they're all in school, she's coming back part-time, and so she's here. But the thing is that was a season that God had called her for her race to go home. See, you may be in a season right now that you don't like, that you don't understand, that you're wondering, God, what are you doing? And yet, if you can get the goal, if you can look up ahead, if you can see God is doing something in my life, I can see that just up ahead, just around the bend, God's going to do something great and mighty in my life. There are miracles waiting for you around the bend. There is goodness of God waiting for you around the bend. There are blessings that you didn't expect that are coming your way just around the corner. But you got to look ahead and you got to keep running. Come on, somebody. Last thing for tonight is this. What moves a Christian? Not only a humble mindset, not only a vision of the goal, but the last thing for all of us is this, is a God-given purpose. We started to talk about this a little bit, talking about the goal. The goal for all of us is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We're all headed towards heaven. That is the goal. That is the ultimate experience. But there is a unique individual purpose that God has given to each and every one of us in this room. Acts chapter 20, verse 24, once again, look at what he says. He says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race or my course with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Notice he outlines exactly what he received from the Lord. It was a ministry that he received from God to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Now, if you read in your Bible, you'll find out that Paul came to the church in Jerusalem, he talked to them, and they recognized the grace of God that was on Paul. And they said that Peter would go to the Jews and Paul would go to the Gentiles. Paul knew his ministry calling. He knew that the Lord Jesus Christ had delivered him that ministry. And in fact, when the Lord delivered that ministry to him, Jesus was talking to Ananias, and Ananias was saying, Jesus, you're telling me to go and minister to this guy. Saul, at the time, was his name, and he eventually became Paul. He says, you want me to go talk to Saul? Well, don't you know how he's been persecuting the church? Jesus says, I know what I'm going to do right now with this guy, and I know how many things that he must suffer for my name's sake. And so Ananias goes and lays hands on him, he prays for him, he baptizes him, and he becomes a believer, and he starts to stand up and testify, and from that moment on, it's on, right? People are just in an uproar about him. They have to lower him in a basket out of a window. Things are happening in Paul's life. You heard about the riots. He was dragged out of cities. He was beaten. He was stoned to death, right? People threw stones at him thinking he was dead. The disciples surrounded him. I don't know if they prayed for him and raised him from the dead, or if he was just laying there and they kind of picked him up and limped him along. But either way, Paul went through excruciating pain, excruciating trials. Can you imagine your own countrymen? What if every American was mad at you because of your life in Christ? What if every American was casting you out? What if every time you decided to take a stand and witness for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, somebody was beating you up and taking you out? My goodness, we would say, this is nuts. This is crazy. I don't want to do this anymore. And yet, the Apostle Paul kept going. Why? Because he knew what he was called to do. He had a God-given purpose, which he received from the Lord Jesus. See, Paul equated this race with the ministry he received. And your race is no different. God has a unique purpose and calling on your life. You are not here by happenstance. You are not here on accident. You are not here because you were a mistake. I don't care if two people got together in a drunken fit one night and had a one-night stand and you ended up here on the earth. Listen, God knew what he was going to do when those two people came together, and he said, I'm going to use that mess and make it a message. I'm going to take that test and I'm going to turn it into a testimony. I'm going to raise them up into being a mighty man or woman of God. You may have thought that your life was meaningless and had no purpose. And yet God is saying, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to give you a future and to give you a hope. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God knows what he's doing in your life. And you need to get into the face of the Holy Spirit and find out what it is that God has for you. See, another word for race is course. Any course has its own turns and its own hills. There may be obstacles along the way. God knows the course that he set you on. And you have to depend on him and stay focused on the goal to achieve your purpose. Otherwise, you may give up when it gets hard. See, all of us have to realize that life is tough. Life is not a bed of roses. It is not a cakewalk. We all enter the kingdom of heaven through many tests and trials and tribulations. There are things that we have to go through in order to get to God. But the struggle is worth it. Why? Because it makes us stronger. It builds character in us. And God uses those things to form us and to mold us and to make us into the image of his son. You know, knowing what you will do also will determine what you will not do. Knowing your yes will determine your no. Is that true? If I'm saving money because I'm going to save up for a down on a house, knowing my yes when the new car comes along and you know, I really like that new car, and you know, this old car, it still drives good, but I really like the new one. Well, wait a second. If I said yes to saving up for a house, then I'm going to say no to purchasing a new car. Is that right? See, your yes will determine your no's. See, in my life, ever since I ever had a paycheck, I was raised in a Christian family, but I got born again at age 15. And so at age 15, I just figured whatever is Christian, I'm going to do it. And so I started reading my Bible. I was attending church. I was praying. And I saw that my family members, they were Christians. And so they were tithing. So I said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start tithing. And so my yes determined what my no was. I would never touch the tithe because I always took that first part out. When I calculated what I had, I would never calculate 100% of my income. I would always calculate 90%. Why? Because my yes, my commitment to God and to tithing determined my no to other financial things that could come along in my life. Same thing with purity. You know what? If I'm a Christian and if I'm going to be pure before the Lord, then my yes should determine, listen, I'm not hanging out in the bar. I'm not hanging out in the club. I'm not going to watch that movie. Do you know that I don't watch rated R movies and I check the PG-13 ones before I go and enter them? And the reason why I do that is because my yes, my commitment to the Lord is so not strict, It's so passionate. It's so involved. It's everything to me. And because of my yes to the Lord, when it comes to things that are impure, nah, don't even ask. I don't have to think twice. Why? Because my yes determined my no. Same thing in your life. If you know your purpose, if you know what God has called you individually to do, then that will determine your no. I know I'm a pastor. I am not a missionary. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a prophet. I'm not an apostle. I may prophesy. I may go on missions. I may plant churches, but I know my calling. I know that I am called to be a pastor and a teacher. Those are the things that God has instilled in my life. Those are the gifts that God gave me to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Therefore, because of my gifting, when someone says, "Will you come and be a missionary?" the immediate answer is no. "Well, Pastor, why don't you pray about it?" I ain't gonna pray about it. Well, why not? Because I don't need to. My yes, my purpose, has determined my no. You understand? In the same way, if you made a commitment to your family, your yes to your family determines your no to outside activities that would draw you away from that. Your yes commitment to Jesus, maybe you decided, you know what, God has called me to be a volunteer. Your yes to that volunteer has determined your no to things that would take you away from that commitment. Now this, again, it's not legalism. If somebody's having a birthday, I can't go see my grandma's 100th birthday. I'm so mad that I volunteered at the church. Listen, go to your grandma's 100th birthday, please. And go have fun and eat some cake, all right? Have some for me, please. But here's the deal. When it comes to every other thing that could draw you away. Hey, we're having poker night. No, I committed to church. Hey, some of us are going to gather together at the bar Wednesday night. No, Wednesday night's church. Hey, you know what? Sports are coming up. Well, we can do sports outside of my church. That's why we have a bajillion services at this church, by the way, so that you can do all that stuff because people are choosing. And so, hey, why not choose church and then sports? You could do it all. That's the beauty of having a big church. That's the beauty of this place. What am I saying, though? When you know your purpose, it will determine the path that you take in life. For all of us, we need to be moved by the right things. Don't be moved by the periphery. Don't be moved by outside things, problems and trials that will arise. Those things shouldn't move us as Christians. Don't be moved by people. You know, sometimes we get our eyes on people. We need to be like the celebrity. We need to be like the famous. We need to be like the rich. We need to be like our neighbors. Or we need to fit into society. Listen, we are not moved by any of these things. What moves us as a Christian? Three things that we learned tonight. Number one is a humble mindset. This is just the way we think, and therefore it governs our actions. Second is vision of the goal. Don't get your eyes off the prize. Keep going in the direction that God has called you. And finally, your God-given purpose. Choose to be moved in the right direction. Did you guys get something from the Word of the Lord tonight? Come on, let's give God a great big praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.